Let's talk about your health. If you suffer from any type of daily pain, I need you to listen to this message very carefully. What we know about the root cause of pain is changing forever. As we age, aches and pains are natural, and we all are searching for an effective way to relieve pain without side effects and addiction. Let's be frank. We have all seen the horrors of the opioid crisis. You may even be affected personally, and that's where a pioneering medical scientist comes in, Clint Winters. You may have seen this world-renowned health expert featured in the national media as he unveiled a natural pain reliever that is taking the world by storm. Yes, I'm talking about Conilodyne, the 100% drug-free way to get full-body pain relief without dangerous pills. As you read this, Conilodyne has become the go-to pain reliever for over 1 million Americans and hundreds of professional athletes. It was so powerful, it was used even exclusively by UFC fighters, and those guys know a thing or two about managing pain. Now get this. Clint explains how Conilodyne is the only compound on earth that optimizes your body's natural painkillers called endorphins at any age. When taking daily, your body will fire back to relieving pain like you were in your prime in just days. And let me tell you, I was skeptical, but it works. I've tried virtually everything and I have not felt this great in years. It's like all my daily aches and pains just faded away. My back, neck, joint, muscles all feel great and renewed. Best of all, Conilodyne does not make you feel the least bit groggy or drugged up. I feel great, alert, focused for the day ahead. And the best news, Conilodyne has no documented side effects after 14 years of extensive testing. Hear me when I say this, Conilodyne is absolutely the future of pain relief. So if you're dealing with pain, make sure to click on the link below and check out Clint's amazing informative report on 100% America-made Conilodyne. This innovation is changing lives by providing safe and powerful relief at one-tenth the cost of pain pills. Now here's the best part. When you click on the link below today, you can access the only Conilodyne product in the world for less than $1 per day. The private link and discount will stay active until midnight. Try Conilodyne risk-free for a full 90 days. You have nothing to lose. You are days away from finally beating pain forever. Go to trykono.com/x22 now and see for yourself. Hi, and welcome to the X22 Report Spotlight. Today, we have a returning guest, Devin Nunes. Devin is the CEO of Trump Media and Technology Group, and I am very happy to have Devin back on the X22 Report Spotlight. Devin, welcome back to the Spotlight.
Well, I am pleased to be here, X22. It's always a pleasure with you.
Hey, thanks for coming back on. And I just wanted to start off, since Truth merged with DWAC, you went public, I just wanted to, you know, find out where is Truth headed? What's coming up that you can tell us about?
Well, yeah, thank you. And it's been a long road, as you know, one of the longest SPACs in history. We won't get into all of that. I think we've done it before. But, you know, just I think the SEC, Biden SEC, did everything they could to stop us from going public. So, you know, look, it's definitely good to be through that now. We're still facing kind of the tail ends of dealing with the merger going public, having to pay a lot of old bills, having to deal with the SEC fines, of which, you know, we were the victims of, but we're still having to pay the fines. We have multiple pieces of litigation going, unfortunately. We'd love to get all that past us. But really what we're most forward-looking to is our streaming platform. So we've built our own CDN. So as you know, the X22 Report, along with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of others, were banned from YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, et cetera. You know, we're trying to build a home. So Truth Social is a beachhead for that home. We've launched streaming into Truth Social. We're going to have about a dozen channels when it's all said and done, but that's fully operating off of our own CDN. And what does that mean? Like our own CDN, it means that we don't rely on anyone for anything to stream those linear channels. So think of Newsmax, OAN, Real America's Voice, like what you would see on TV. We're streaming into True Social. Now, that's just the start of what we're doing. We also are building an app called Truth Plus that will be available on all devices, including your television set. So a true OTT platform. There we're going to, it's amazing technology. I think it's some of the fastest in the country. That's my personal belief. I have it on my phone right now. We're getting ready to release it, over the coming weeks. You know, slowly as we continue to build out, we're building additional data centers. It's one of the things we didn't want to do, Dave, is we didn't want to rely on Amazon or Google or Microsoft Azure. We couldn't afford to go to their cloud, so we built our own. We built our own delivery network, which, I think, I don't have an insight into all of the streaming platforms that are out there, but I'm pretty sure that we are the only one that has our own CDN. When you compare to, say, Pluto or Fubo or so the various Comcast, Spectrum, those types of legacy platforms. So we built a very efficient system on our own network where we'll have as many channels as we want. Eventually, we'll probably have a subscription capability, so people want to pay for no ads, or people want to pay for more channels, because we're creating a home for people that don't have a home, that have traditional television content, kind of made for TV content. So say you can't get your documentary on Netflix or on Amazon Prime. Sound familiar? I mean, that's it happens all the time. There's so many of these documentaries and films that don't have a home. So we're focusing on news and information on channels that don't have homes, religious channels that may have a home but have to pay an exorbitant amount to the legacy systems in order to be there. And then family-friendly content, including video on demand for the launch of documentaries, films, et cetera. It's amazing technology. I'm proud of our team, proud of what we put together. And we're just trying to get it launched as soon as possible. That's always the challenge with technology. It's just, we're moving, as fast as possible. We want to make sure that, as we continue to beta test this, that we don't have any challenges. But so far, knock on wood, so good. We've been up, has not went down. The system's working great within True Social. If you're on True Social, you can go and look at it now. And hopefully we'll slowly start rolling out Truth Plus across all other platforms.
So is Truth Plus, that's a separate app than Truth.
It
So
will be, yeah, because it's, I mean, look, it's a full functioning True Social is a social me is social media, right? So you'll be able to watch, if you're scrolling through, you'll be able to watch Real America's Voice or what have you while you're scrolling through True Social. But Truth Plus gives you the full experience. Think of Netflix. I mean, we're building something that's superior to most of the platforms, superior or equal to. I tend to believe that YouTube TV, as much as I hate to admit it, YouTube TV is probably one of the better ones out there, along with Netflix, in terms of their technical capability. And I believe that ours is going to be, over time, as good, if not better, than that, because we know we do have ability to go back 7 days and watch. So if you think of, there's a company out there called Sling, we have that capability built into our app. So you'll be able to go back and watch, say you want to go back and watch a show or news program or movie that aired 5 days ago. You just can go back, click, it's easy, and it comes right up. It's lightning fast. So that's why we're building out that capacity now, to make sure that we can handle all the users once we get this fully launched. But it'll look, it's going to be a we're going to take our time. We're moving as fast as possible. We will launch when ready. But we're, it'll be in beta until we think it's up to where we as True Social believe that it needs to be as a company before we announce that it's fully launched. But during that time, we'll be letting people on as device by device is the concept.
So, can creators actually put their content on this? If they
Well,
create a documentary?
it's really made, most importantly, for tradition, taking making a creating a home for traditional TV, traditional TV channels. But in addition to that, if like a filmmaker wanted to put something on there for video on demand, we have that capability. It's not really a place for you to put your podcast on. That's more, think of Rumble, which is equivalent of YouTube. But it doesn't mean that, in the future that we might, maybe Rumble will, want to grab some channels for us. We, of course, as you know, they're our close partner. We work with them every day. But we just haven't got to that point because we got to get it fully launched on all the devices. But But we're looking forward to, giving a home for people that have been banned. I mean, if you think of One America News, they're not on any of the legacy systems.
Right.
Newsmax is, struggles to stay on all of the legacy systems. I think Real America's Voice is on one. I think they're maybe on Dish Network. So we're really focused on creating a home for, like I said, news, information, religious channels, and family-friendly content.
Now, what we're seeing is a lot of censorship starting to pick up again. It kind of calmed down a little bit, but now as we're approaching the elections, all of a sudden we see like the EU, Brazil, and many other countries, they're really now pushing hard with censorship. And the president, CEO of Telegram, Durov, he was arrested in France. I think X, I think they were forcing him out in Brazil. Probably the EU will probably force X out of the EU. I mean, what is your take on this, and what do you see happening?
It's really, I guess I'm not shocked because it's
Yeah.
predictable, but I mean, you're seeing this in Brazil, as you know, was taken over by a communist government, with Lula back in power again. I don't know, that guy's like, it reminds me of the old Soviet Union. I mean, he must be about 100 years old, was in power, then in jail, now back in power. So, he's going to crack down. He's going to try to stay the, basically over time, probably become a, almost a dictator in Brazil if he's not, if he's somehow not stopped. With that said, that's so Brazil is one thing. The EU is slightly different. I mean, it's a little shocking that France would allow, they claim to be this great beacon of free speech. And, sure enough, during the Olympics, they were like free speech for woke, where they
Right.
took, scenes from the Bible and everything else and made, all this crazy, everything that you don't want to see in the Olympics, right? For me, I didn't watch the Olympics after that opening ceremony. I just said, okay, forget it. And I've watched the Olympics my whole life. I've enjoyed watching it. I didn't watch one minute of it after they, because I just don't want to see all this woke stuff. I want to see like guys racing in a 100-meter dash, and I want to see women, playing, whatever, volleyball or shot put or whatever it is. And I don't want to see men beating the crap out of women. That's just my own personal preference, making note of the guy that was, boxing and beat up I can't remember where the lady was from, but beat her up, and won the gold medal. It's just
Yeah.
ridiculous. So I think, so France, my point is that France let all that nonsense in the Olympics, but yet they're going after one of their own citizens who is a, very successful entrepreneur, has a, very large platform that to me, it's not something that I use, but I know in Eastern Europe and all over Europe and Asia, I know that it's a very popular platform. And it just seems, if you're going to let what you let happen in the Olympics, why would you jail a guy for not having the right moderation? And I think the thing to watch there is going to be if, Apple, like all of us, we can be built on our own infrastructure, delivering without anyone involved, except, any social media company has to have access to the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. And if you don't, you're going to lose out on that. As you may recall, it took Google a long time to allow True Social into their Google Play Store, which, really hurt us a couple of years ago because we weren't able to fully launch until, a lot of people don't remember. We haven't even been fully launched for 2 years. That won't be until November, October, November, when we actually were available across all platforms, just True Social. And then, of course, on top of that, you had the SEC stopping the merger. So we were just a small startup company with seed money. Now finally we have money to, go out and invest, add the streaming. We're starting to do promotion, things of that nature that we didn't have access to. So it's kind of amazing what we've built in a very short amount of time. Thankfully, we happen to have one of the most popular people on the planet in Donald Trump. So, as he posts to True Social, I mean, he's really the only place that you can see him kind of day in and day out. He does his campaign post things to all the other platforms, but day in and day out, he's active on True Social, where it tends to be Everybody across the board, including even Kamala's on True Social now, and Gavin Newsom. So,
Yeah, you know what it is? It's the deep state. They're the gatekeepers because they control Google, they control Apple, and since they're private corporations, and I mean this, I'm just projecting out there. When you see what's happening with Telegram out in France and X out in Brazil, and I know EU is putting a lot of pressure on X, you could see that the private corporations, what they can do here is say, well, they broke the law over there, something. Maybe we should suspend their app right now because. We see what's happening in other countries. We see what's happening out in the EU, and they're a private corporation, and they can do what they want, and they can they have the ability to do that. And the question is, how do we get around that? How like if that does happen, let's say Telegram they suspend the app on Apple and X is suspended, and they come after Truth and it's suspended. What do we do to get around that?
Well, the one thing is that these are publicly traded companies, so they do have certain responsibilities, and there are, there is legal precedent.
Right.
I think that Apple and Google would be, if they were to go and actually start to ban apps like this, I think it would have a very chilling effect. Remember, they did it once. They did it with Parler,
Right.
which I was one of the first guys to go onto Parler. As we built True Social, we actually looked at Parler to make sure we didn't make the same mistakes. Parler was banned by some 30 different companies. And that's why we're not relying on any of those companies except for being in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store because they have monopoly. Look, a lot of it will come down to the election. If Trump continues to do well in the polls and pulls out a victory here, it'll be a big victory for free speech, because you're not going to see Apple and Google play games with their app stores. If Harris is to somehow pull off a victory, I mean, it would be devastating for free speech. I think you'll see what happened in 2020 probably be even worse, would be my guess.
Personally, I think what they're going to try to do is try to censor as many platforms as possible. Have you been getting feedback from the EU or any other country with True Social about, hey, you need to censor this? Or I think Chris, CEO of Rumble, they've been getting a lot of feedback saying, hey, we want you to censor someone. Have you been getting any feedback from the
You
EU,
know,
Brazil, or any other country?
so we are impacted by Rumble. As you recall, Elon went out against the GARM group.
Right.
Rumble joined them. How are we involved, you may ask? Well, our ads, we were the first. Rumble has their own ad center to so that you don't have to use Google, which controls like 90% of the digital ad world. So Rumble built their own. We were actually the first ones to beta test that the Rumble Ad Center. So, in a roundabout way or kind of directly, we are impacted by these decisions. Look, knock on wood, I think so far, we cooperate with law enforcement if there's, illegal activity involved. But as you know, our platform is very clean because, we're a family-friendly platform, right? So, we're not a place that you're going to see porn and that you're going to see things that are inappropriate. I always say, look, if it's something that you don't see on your traditional going back in time, for those of us for like you and I, with the old rabbit, if you're old enough to remember the old rabbit ears TVs with where you had six channels, if you don't see it on those, if you think back to those days, we don't want to see it on True Social. So that's one reason why it's very difficult to attack True Social, because we just don't tolerate that type. It's not something that we want on our platform because we're a conservative company with conservative leaders is and we don't want to see that type of garbage on the platform. And furthermore, we don't want I always tell people, look, on social media, you get excited, you say F you to somebody once, got it. But if they're just going to say your account, X22 account, and they're saying F you, F you, F you, F you every day, like, look, sorry, like you don't need to be at True Social. You can go to Twitter or Facebook and do that. We don't want you. So that's one of the reasons why I think, we've kept our, knock on wood, we've kept our platform clean. We've part of the reason we've had to do that is because, you know, the attacks that come onto the platform are so massive, because we're operating, you know, on our own infrastructure. True Social, actually, we were the ones to beta test the Rumble Cloud, so we have our own cloud with Rumble that we use. And, you know, there's not, you know, every time that there's a big event, like the other night, we had one of the biggest nights ever with when President Trump was live truthing during Kamala Harris, her speech at the DNC, her very short speech. I don't know, it was like 30 minutes or something.
She did say
But
a
he
lot of
was
thank
live.
yous, though. She did say a lot of thank yous.
Yeah, if you take out the thank yous, it was about a 10 minute. If so, when you look at that, when we get so President Trump had announced earlier in the day that he was going to be doing it, well, then of course the attacks just ramp up, and that's one of the dangers that we have operating our own cloud. We can't just I can't I just can't call up, you know, I don't have Jeff Bezos on speed dial and say, hey Jeff, can you spin up, you know, 100 more servers for us tonight, because, you know, we know we're going to get attacked from all over the country. So, you know, by necessity, we got to keep the spam accounts and the bot accounts off, because they can almost create like sleeper cells where they can create an account, all of a sudden become active, and they can ping different parts of the platform to slow the platform down. So, you know, look, we've had a lot of big days, big events. Every time we learn more. It's one of the reasons why we were able to grow so fast, and our technology has been, knock on wood, very superior, and has been able to stand up, you know, with these large tests, because, you know, President Trump and the politics, we bring hate from all over the world, right? We bring probably, it's hard to know where these attacks come from, but probably nation states, probably other bad actors within the corporate world, and I'm sure a lot of bad actors on the left, maybe all working in concert. But because of that, we've built infrastructure that's been able to stand up to some of the largest attacks. But because of that, long story coming full circle, you know, we have it's really important for us to keep the platform clean of bots. And I would say, you know, I'm not passing ill will on any of the platforms, but there's a lot of bots, a lot of fake activity over there. And, you know, look, we don't have time for it. And I'm not going to invest, you know, I'm not going to call up Bezos and ask for more servers and let him charge me so that, you know, jerks around the world can have a bunch of bot farms and try to bring down the platform. And look, I would say the other thing is that, you know, we are a, you know, President Trump is the largest owner of, you know, largest shareholder of our company. As you know, my background, in, you know, being in Congress, you know, for nearly 2 decades, being chairman of the Intelligence Committee, knock on wood also, I just don't think they want to screw with us. Because they know that I will come after them. You know, we've come after all the media companies when they do fake hit pieces. We got multiple pieces of lawsuits going. You know, I don't tolerate shit. Don't tolerate on the platform, and I don't tolerate fake news. And I sure as hell am not going to tolerate, you know, a government around the world targeting True Social when I know that we are a family-friendly platform. So we are for free speech. You're welcome to say anything you want politically. But because we're family friendly, don't give me the, you know, don't call us and say, oh, you know, you got to take this down or that down. I don't know what it would be that they'd want to take down, because we are simply just a free speech platform that doesn't have all the stuff you would see on the other platforms.
What's very interesting is that since we have the 2024 election coming up right now, Facebook, they just admitted to interfering, first of all, in COVID, and they said that the Biden administration kind of, you know, was directing them on who to censor. And they also interfered in the election. So when we start to look at this now, we have Facebook interfering in the election. We have the 50 former intelligence officials. They were interfering in the election with the Hunter Biden laptop. I think there was a Georgia case saying that the election should have never been certified. I mean, at this point, with what we're seeing right now, I think people are starting to see that this election in 2020 was rigged.
Well, look, it was, you don't even have to get into all the other issues that are out there. You only
No, I
have to,
know.
there's only two that are right there, right in front of you, that Facebook just admitted to. You have the 51 spies who lie. That was clearly election interference that Facebook and all the others, by the way, participated in, including Twitter at the time. And then you have on top of that, you know, Zuckerberg, who spent some $430 million that went into Oh, just to help people, learn where their polling center is. And I'll tell you, maybe I said this on your show last time. Had I put in $100 into any organization like that, I would have been accused of violating federal election laws. And it still amazes me that Zuckerberg got away with doing that. And never, I mean, that it was clearly electioneering. Where that money went, nobody knows. So look, I'm guessing that, he's being very clear now. You saw the letter. I mean, he's admitting to everything.
Why do you think he
And
admitted
maybe
it?
the hope is that on his part that, that maybe, because if Trump was to win, if there was an actual a real investigation into what happened just with Zuckerberg in 2020, that could be, I think, really damaging to Zuckerberg and the company, because we know that, his money went to Democrat operatives to go get votes. That's what it went for. And it's not only is it an unprecedented amount of money, it's real money when it comes to putting that money on the ground, considering that there's only, and still to this day, as we speak, there's only six or seven states that are really in play in this election. And if you spend $400 million or even $100 million in those seven states on get out the vote efforts, that's just that's a lot of capital to deploy. I don't even know how you would spend $430 million. I'd love to know where all that money went to, because I think it went into a lot of people's pockets and it went to turn out the vote. And as if you believe that everything was kosher in the election, just that $430 million would have changed the outcome of the election, especially when you match it up with the 51 spies who lie.
Well, when I hear this, yes, I understand what Zuckerberg did, but the Biden and the Harris administration, they were actually driving a lot of this, especially with COVID. And it's coming from the government. And the government, again, just like on Twitter, they're telling these platforms who to censor, who to stop where they don't want certain people saying certain information. Talk about our health. We've been told our whole lives that wrinkle creams were the easiest way to look younger. Now, one doctor says that's nothing but old news. According to Dr. John Lakey, the world-renowned Beverly Hills expert, most wrinkle fixes on the market are nothing but glorified moisturizers. They hardly make a dent on your appearance, and some can even be harmful to your skin. Recently, Dr. Lakey has focused attention away from mainstream cosmetic practices. Why? So he can pursue a revolutionary anti-aging breakthrough, one that some experts say could empty the wallets of the cosmetic industry. It's almost like Photoshop for your face. You may even be mad after seeing how easy it is to visibly erase your wrinkles from view. Lakey told reporters his personal clients have doubled his new do-it-yourself technique, the Age Rewinder method, because it can take years or even decades off your appearance in under 2 minutes. In light of this amazing breakthrough, Dr. Lakey has released a step-by-step video to the public, free and uninterrupted, where he outlines exactly how to use the simple solution from home. If this helps even one person look younger or feel more confident, I'll be thrilled knowing I helped, Dr. Lakey commented. The video has since gone viral. At first, it was shared by users on Facebook, but since then, it raked up over 2.3 million views and counting. So far, the comment and feedback have been outstanding, with thousands of women reporting they look decades younger. One viewer even commented, "Best results of anything I've used, and I can't believe how well this works. I'll never stop using this. I don't understand how it works, but the results are great. Thank you." So you can find out more about this yourself right now. Go to bhmd1.com/x22. Or click on the link in the description box below. That's bhmd1.com/x22. Now, there's one thing Dr. Lakey asked from his viewers. If watching this video helps you look and feel younger than you have in years, then please share this video with your friends and loved ones. Together, we have the power to help as many women reclaim a youthful look as possible. Go watch the video at bhmd1.com/x22 right now, or just click on the link in the description box below. And I think what people are now wondering, like, why doesn't Congress do something? What don't they have the ability to? Yes, they're investigating. They come out with beautiful reports. I mean, they look very nice. But can't Congress actually do something with all these government agencies, government people that are actually violating the people's constitutional rights?
Well, the answer is that they can. They have investigative power, but they're the legislative branch of government. Having spent a lot of time there, having run some of the most consequential investigations, you know, in the last decade or so. You know, a lot of everybody knows the Russia hoax, but, you know, we also had to deal with the Ukraine impeachment hoax. We had, we ran a long, you know, decade long investigation into China, into Obama's, line about ISIS, which, by the way, the current Secretary of Defense was the general that we, at the end of the day, it was probably him that, that doctored the evidence, although we never could prove that. But all signs led to Austin when he was the commanding general at the time. And, you know, it was really the manipulation of intelligence that occurred then. So, you know, we did a lot of that. We exposed Huawei and ZTE for what they were doing. That was, you know, in 2014, I guess. So a lot of these, you know, so you can basically unearth things. You can use subpoena power, but you can't go out and arrest people or indict people. You need the executive branch for that, as you know. So the thing is that if, you know, Trump can win this election, he's going to have to move quickly. To not allow what happened in 2016, when all these guys just burrowed in, a lot of bad people came in that, you know, pretended to be Trump people. And then, you know, I think the country's still paying the price, for a lot of what happened at, you know, within the FBI and the DOJ, you know, mainly. And I think that's first and foremost where you have to clean house is the Department of Justice. I mean, that's first and foremost, because if you fix that, then it makes everything else a lot easier, because if there is a new sheriff in town and DOJ is actually going to investigate real crimes that went on, whether it was the Facebook money that was spent or into the manipulation of intelligence to the 51 spies who lie, we can go on and on. It's mostly about getting the right people at the Department of Justice. As you know, Garland is a figurehead.
Yeah.
Lisa Monaco, who's a longtime Obama person, she's, you know, been around forever. She just kind of slithers around, and she's running the Justice Department, which clearly was involved in these four ridiculous attacks against President Trump across multiple jurisdictions. You know, I think, you know, four different indicted in four different locations is unprecedented for any American. I don't think you could find more than anyone in U.S. history being indicted more than twice at the same time.
So when the Department of Justice is cleaned out and, you know, when Trump wins and there's new sheriff in town, I guess the investigative part is already done by Congress so that the new DOJ can take the investigation and then use it.
Yeah. And remember, DOJ, a lot of people, this is always lost on people. DOJ, or I should say it this way, FBI is part of DOJ. Okay. So, you know, and that has to be cleaned up. So a lot of people think they're separate agencies. They're not. FBI is under the Department of Justice. So that's why, you know, when I say DOJ's got to be cleaned out so that FBI can be cleaned out. And then I think once that all happens, and then the FBI is truly, you know, actually targeting criminals and not playing political games anymore, it's just going to, you know, it'll end a lot of this, you know, and hopefully, you know, over a 4-year time period, Trump will be able to leave his mark and really restoring a fair justice system in this country for all Americans, which is what you need to have a successful democratic republic. You got to have a fair system of justice.
Do you think Kamala's going to make it to the election? She won't. She has no policies on her side. She's trying to back out of the debates, trying to blame it on, you know, yeah. I think she's trying to change the rules and hoping that Trump will back out and she could say, oh, look, he backed out. You know, he doesn't want to agree. But do you think she will make it to the elections if she does the debate just like with Biden? She does the debate and she completely fails. Will they replace her or will they keep her in?
Well, as I told you, I think last time maybe the previous two interviews, I'd have to go back and look, but I know I've said this every interview.
I'm sure you did.
Interview that I've done, I said that Biden was not going to be the nominee, in my opinion. And, you know, how did I know that? Because I knew when Susan Rice walked out the door the night before Biden announced that he was going to run for reelection, whatever that was, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I said, oh, And then the fact that the fake news didn't report on it, that meant Obama's out. Obama's going to remove Biden. And it was just Biden took a long time, kind of ruined Obama's plans, because what I think they really wanted is they knew that Harris was not up to it. So they wanted to, have like a traditional Democratic primary where they could go in and let them compete a little bit, figure out who the top two or three are, then push one at the end. That's what they wanted. So they could have, they even messaged it for a little bit after Biden said that he wasn't going to run again. If you remember, the messaging after that was, oh, there's going to be a short primary process. And then
Right.
bam, and I do give credit to Harris for this, she is cunning. Because she was able to work with Biden, co-opted Biden, co-opted Biden's people, and really ran a coup. I mean, it really was impressive to watch. And that was against, a lot of people don't realize this, that was against Obama. Obama did not want her, even though a lot of people say, well, wait a second, didn't Obama support her for the last decade? Yes, he did. But he did not want Harris because he knows that she is a flawed candidate. He tried to get her. Remember, he was supporting quietly Harris when she got 10 out of she got 10th place out of 10 people
Right.
in Iowa, had to drop out. I mean, she didn't even make it to the Iowa primary. And then it was Obama who put her in as vice president for Biden. And then, you look at all the stories. I mean, she couldn't keep people. It's a total disaster. Her and Biden were fighting, and she was just kind of isolated as a do nothing vice president that they just wanted to get rid of. But I tell people all the time, don't mistake her for somebody that is stupid. She's not stupid. She may be, she may be lazy, and she's definitely a Marxist, but she's, very dangerous. And she's had a career of being very dangerous as somebody who knows how to move up in a Soviet style system. So you got to remember, Harris and I got into politics about the same time. And she never, unlike me and many others, she never had a serious election. And when she did have a serious election, when she ran for the presidential primaries, she had to get out before there was even, before people even went to the polls. So I know that's a little bit, kind of, three-dimensional chess, but it's something that I've dealt with in politics for so long, just watching. And so it becomes pretty clear and evident what's happening. But I think there's just not enough time to get rid of her. I don't know how what they would do at this point.
Well, do you think she'll
And then
debate?
the fact that she picked Walz, who I served with in Congress, that was just a very bizarre pick to me. I think they could have picked 50 random Democrats, one from each state, put them up on a wall and threw a dart, and that would have been better than Walls. Go ahead.
Don't you think it's strange that they were choosing all white males for the VP pick? They always talk about, diversity and all this. Why didn't they pick a woman? Why didn't they pick a black man? Why was it all white males? Who I found that very odd.
Yeah, well, if you think about what they were trying to do there, is they really wanted the smart people, the smart money wanted Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. The problem is that there's such a anti-Semitic party now and pro-Palestinian that there's no way they were ever going to be able to pick a guy. And they tried, as you know. I think Obama was pushing him, but how are you going to pick a guy that was, served in the IDF. I don't know for how long, but those are the stories. That's Jewish. So then they, I think they wanted, as you know, this election's going to come down, I believe, to Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and Trump's got to win one of those. So I think they got the closest leftist that they could find, and that's Minnesota, which is, kind of up there in that Rust Belt. But like I said, I think they would have been better off. I think they don't make too many mistakes, but I think this was a mistake. I think they just, like I said, they could have just thrown a dart at the wall and got somebody better than Walls. I mean, he's he's a big liability for them and just not a very average guy that I served with him. He was a nice enough guy, but I watched him metamorphosis from when he was in Congress and he was in a more moderate district when he had to run for re-election. He would come over to the Republican side and pretend to be a Republican. And then when he started running in the Democrat primary for Minnesota, he disappeared. We'd never, matter of fact, it was, we had a joke, where's Waldo Walls? Because he would never come over and visit us on the House floor anymore. He acted like he didn't know any of us any longer. So, and then he transformed into this like ridiculous progressive governor, almost mimicking himself after Gavin Newsom.
So do you think we're going to see some October surprises? Do you think they're either on the side of the Democrats or with Trump and his party? Do you think there are any surprises that are going to come out in October? Normally we get that.
Look, I think we know now there's nothing that they won't do. I mean, we watched an attempted assassination attempt. I knew from just my time with the president and speaking to the Secret Service, many who I've known for a long time and they know my background in intelligence, I was just astonished by the lack of numbers that were protecting President Trump. And I think many of the Secret Service guys that I spoke to knew that also. And this wasn't like a couple months ago. This goes back, a year ago, to when these, I was having these discussions. And, I told, President Trump numerous times that he's got to be very careful here because, a lot of bad actors out there that don't want to see him in office. And as I mean, just to take that shot, to the side of the head, I mean, just by, I don't know, quarter inch, and this is a changed world. Very. So, look, there's nothing they won't try, I guess, Dave, is nothing they won't do that, but they are hampered right now because they have two very weak candidates in Kumala, however the hell you say her name, and Walls. I mean, it's going to be a big challenge for them moving forward, and I think they're just hoping that, that they'll it's the same old playbook. They will they're using the media that they control, the social media companies that they control for the most part, and they're putting on a great AstroTurf program out there. But I just have to think with the economic problems, no matter how they doctor the numbers, it's going to be at the end of the day, people are going to vote their pocketbooks. People are going to look for safety. And I think, President Trump building a larger coalition now, he's clearly more popular with African Americans, which is important in many of those six states that are up for grabs, more popular with Hispanics, more popular with working people, even more popular, even small numbers with young people. And now he's building coalition with Democrats who have been estranged from the party, like Kennedy, like Tulsi Gabbard, and you've just seen that roll out here in the last week or so. And I think you'll continue to see that. So I think the Trump team has a looks to me like they have a great plan moving forward to build a coalition, and then it's going to come down to what's what's the saying? Too big to rig. That's really what, they have to win by enough votes so that you can counterbalance those, what are only probably around 15 counties, which is where they will do a big get out the vote. The left will do a big get out the vote effort, where it calls into question, the fairness and whether or not those people are really voting or not, or is somebody voting for them. And that's, that's what we see in California, by the way. That's all legal. They registered everybody to vote. Ballots are everywhere in California, and you don't even have to be a U.S. citizen, and you can run around and pick up ballots and drop them in election boxes. So it's that's going to be. So I think will we see, more? I mean, I guess we've got the debates coming up. What'll happen there, as you said? You also have the whatever's left of, I think there's the crazy judge in New York. Those cases are all changing. I mean, they're falling off, but there still is the one case where you have the crazy judge that I guess is going to sentence potentially sentence Trump in mid to late September. I mean, it's just
I mean,
fascinating.
you think he'll go to jail?
Look, I think that judge is so crazy. I think he wants to, but I don't know if there's. I'm sure there's the appeals process is working, so we'll see what happens. But the far left, they don't care. I mean, they think they win by trying to put Trump in jail. I don't think it, look, it's backfired on them completely, though.
It
No
has.
matter how many times Obama's team indicts Trump and gets the craziest judges they can find, and craziest prosecutors, every time that's happened, Trump has his numbers have gotten better. And really, that's the other point, just kind of final point on this, is that Trump's favorability is higher than it's ever been. And that, so I mean, I think he looks strong going this election, but as there's the left is going to pull out all the stops.
Before I let you go, I just want to mention to everyone that you have a new wine coming out, and it's a reserve. You want to explain what
Our
the difference?
favorite topic.
Yes, if you
This is
want
what Dave and I talk about when we're
to.
not on the X-22 report. When I have the pleasure of seeing Dave, it's always fun. We sit around and we talk about wine. And as you know, Dave, I don't have any hobbies other than just basically work. But then I enjoy, making my own wines, and have been in the business since I was a little boy. My grandfather grew grapes. I grew up with vineyards surrounding my house. Those were grapes were mainly for used for table grapes and raisins, and also kind of bulk wine. Later in when I got into college, I was involved. It was when the Central Coast, the Paso Robles region of California, was just getting up and going. And so I got into wine. I never, never, I always just wanted to make my own wine. I got involved in a couple small wineries over the last 20 years or so. And then in 2021, I started my own winery called Devin Nunes Wines, devinnuneswines.com, which, by the way, we have a lot of people from X from the are on fans of yours on X-22 have joined the wine club. And by the way, if you go to my website, you put in X-22, we give free shipping. You become part of the X-22 wine club there on for my wine club. But I will say that as I like my passion is to grow these Portuguese varietals on the central coast of California. So, and I believe that those are world-class wines and will make world-class wine. And I think I've proven that you've had some of those wines. But I've also, just because it's popular, the Bordeaux varietals, Cabernet Sauvignon is the most well-known one. They're popular across the country, and I know that you like Cabernet. And so I've really focused on also having a great Cabernet. And this year we're going to have a Patriot Reserve. So if you look at the Patriot bottle, I actually have it right here, put it right there. But if you have a Patriot bottle, it's got the flag on it. Well, this time I'm going to take and change. I'm going to put some stars around it with the year there for the Patriot Reserve. So we'll have the regular Patriot, then we'll have the Patriot Reserve, which is going to be, look, I think it's phenomenal wine. Of course, I'm obviously biased, but I know that you enjoy the Patriot wine, and I think you even have to admit you like Portuguese wines also.
Yes, I do. But we do. I just want to mention this to everyone. I don't get anything when you put X22 in. This is all Devin, by the way. But we do argue about French oak. Okay, so I give him a lot of crap about French oak, about include. But the reserve now. You were telling me you hand selected the grapes and you went out there into the field and you're making a small amount of this reserve and you're allowing it to sit longer in French oak. I like French oak. You're
Yeah.
not, you like it, but you're not
Well,
as big as a fan as I am.
you and I have had this argument, but I guess we want to have this discussion so that your listeners and viewers can hear this discussion. So it's not that I don't like oak. It's that I think oak is very important. I use oak in all of my wines. But what I feel has happened as wineries have become more corporate. There's kind of been a corporate takeover of the wine industry. I mean, there's very few small mom and pop wineries left out there of any size and magnitude, and it's very difficult business to get into. I mean, look, I'm just lucky that I'm able to get into this biz into the wine business because one, I've been doing it my whole life. I have a lot of great contacts. I have one of the best winemakers, my personal belief, in California, who's been a friend of mine for 30 years, and we've been messing around with these wines for 30 years. So it's one thing to make great wine; it's another thing to sell the great wine, and all that is very complex. But today, to start up, it's virtually impossible for someone to do it because there's so many good wines out there. It's really tough to compete. I mean, I can't, in the terms of like price point, these big corporate wineries come in, they produce bulk wine, massive amounts, they keep their costs low. And what happens is that they're making all the wine taste the same. And that's that. So you lose a lot of the character and flavor of the wine because they're just oaking the crap out of it. And that's where I just think a lot of the cabs that are made, most of them are from California, but they all taste the same. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some very high-end wines that are very, very good that clearly have oak in them. But I just think that the large corporations have kind of ruined the wine business to and the experience of wine. If you go to most restaurants in this country, that are the big chain restaurants, all the popular steakhouses, where you get fine wines, virtually everywhere you go, 95% of the wines are the same. It's the same, because there's only like three big players that own most of the wineries. They're the wines that you see in there, and almost I bet I could open up 25 bottles at any steakhouse in America, Dave, and you and I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between those 25 wines. So what I set out to do when growing these Portuguese varietals in California is I want the expression of that fruit to people to be able to taste that fruit. And I want them to be able to experience without that oak. Because if I just oak it, put it in heavy French oak, it's possible that someone might not be able to tell the difference between a Portuguese varietal and a Cabernet if I put enough oak in it.
That's true.
And as you know, the Portuguese varietals, they, for me, this is just my dumb kind of explanation of them. They're more like wine that throw off kind of blue and black flavors. And I think it's the only place that you can get that type of flavor in wine, where on the cabs and those type, they throw off what I say are more red fruit flavors. And so that's what I think is special about the Portuguese wine. So I'm very, very careful about how much I put the Portuguese varietals grown in California, just so everybody understands. I do use new French oak, but once I start to taste too much oak, I pull it out of the barrel. So it'll be in anywhere from 10 to say 14 months, where a lot of these guys will throw it in oak and leave it for 24 months. So, but look, you're gonna be happy though. The good thing about this year, when my Patriot Reserve comes out, you're going to love it, Dave, because they are sitting in oak right now. Matter of fact, I'm gonna hopefully bottle it here in about a week. So they've been in French oak for almost 24 months, and you can taste the oak in it. But I do think you're gonna find it special because there's only six barrels, and I was able to find a couple of very special barrels that I liked, and I think it's gonna have a unique. I think it's gonna be a superior wine for the central coast of California. I think that's for sure. Whether it can go up against the best of Napa Valley, only time will tell, but I feel pretty good about it.
When do you think they'll be available?
So if you join the wine club, you can order some wine now. We only have two wines available right now because the new release isn't out, but they'll be released right at around the end of October, 1st of November.
Okay.
So you get a case and with all the different wines in it, and I like doing it that way. One thing, this is a small business. I have a big business to run, so I don't really have the time to dive. Just a small part-time team that works on it, and so it makes it easy for us to kind of get that wine all shipped out at once. So we basically do one shipment a year. And I like that timing. One, the wines are new. And second, it heads into Thanksgiving and into the Christmas and New Year's holidays. So it's kind of a nice time to, you know, you can use the wine for gifts if you want, or you can take it to your family's house for dinner if you really want to piss off. If you have any liberal family members, you can take a bottle of Devin Nunes Patriot wine over there, which will probably piss them off. But seriously though, it's good wine. And I'm, you know, obviously biased, but very proud of our team, very proud of the wine that we put together. And the wine is just going to continue to get better as I begin to, matter of fact, this year I was able to plant, it's very small acreage, but I was able to plant 5 acres this year. Now takes a long time, but I think we've got it in the right location. But you know, that people won't be able to drink that wine for another 5 years, you know, by the time I get the first crop off and then you harvest it. And so it'll be, you know, a couple of years before I get any crop off, but slowly I'm assembling just kind of long-term leases and commitments and contracts, and finding the right Portuguese varietals. And then also with these Bordeaux varietals, I think they're going to continue to get better and better.
So if anyone's interested, where should they go to
get the wine? Yeah, if you just go to devinnunaswines.com, and then there'll be a promo code. If you put X22, then we know you heard it here on X22, and we'll give you a nice discount. And as Dave said, he's not getting anything.
He doesn't get
paid for any of this. And quite frankly, I don't even make any money on this, but I love doing it. Someday I'd like to not lose money at some point, but I just enjoy it so much. I enjoy when people like the wines. And as I tell people, if you don't like my wines, that's okay. I'll just have them and I'll drink them over time.
Or you can give them to me.
Or I can give them to you. Exactly.
Hey, Devin, thank you very much for being on the X22 Report Spotlight. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. All the best to you, Dave.
You too.